Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It was a controversial story that grabbed worldwide attention December 2017. The New York Times' stunning front page expose about the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Their job to research and investigate unidentified aerial phenomena. Lou Elizondo, former special agent in charge and director of the Pentagon's secret UFO program, is featured in History's groundbreaking new six-part nonfiction one-hour limited series, Unidentified: Inside America's UFO Investigation. Speaking out for the first time in depth about new evidence on UFOs and the potential threat they pose to U.S. national security. Unidentified: Inside America's UFO Investigation, premiering Friday, May 31st, 10 Eastern Pacific, only on History. And Lou is with us on This Week in America. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be here.
Such a fascinating topic, and you were not only inside America's UFO investigation, as I say, you directed it. What was the purpose of this program that really most of us knew nothing about?
Well, the purpose of the program was really twofold. The purpose of the program was to identify, as it relates to the UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. We were tasked with looking at what these things were and how they operated, how they worked. We weren't really focused on who was behind the wheel or what are their intentions or where are they from. We were really focused from a national security perspective on really what it was, how do they work, and determine if it's a threat.
You know, and you had your hands full with those two questions, didn't you? Trying to figure out what this was, because this really you described as anomalous type of aircraft, sort of defying the laws of aerodynamics, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. In fact, they fell into five different categories of information, and we basically binned them, if you will. And let me start before I even go down that road. You know, when you look at all planes look kind of similar. They have a nose, they have a tail, they have engines,
yes,
intakes, and that's because they have to abide by the laws of physics and aerodynamics. Well, in this particular case, we realized that we were looking at things that could perform in a way that normal aircraft don't perform. So what are those? So for the first one, for example, is instantaneous acceleration. The human body can withstand about 9G forces for a very short period of time before all sorts of bad things start happening. And yet, these things were displaying G-forces well in excess of 400 or 500 G-forces, possibly considerably more than that. These things were also operating at velocities, including hypersonic velocities. Anything Mach 5 and above is considered hypersonic speed. And these things were able to go from an absolute standstill to hypersonic velocities in a blink of an eye. Furthermore, these things were able to avoid and evade radar at times. It seems to be sometimes almost like some sort of active jamming. And at other times, these things seem to be able to operate at all different altitudes, from 80,000 feet down to 50 feet, low Earth orbit potentially, and maybe even underwater. And last but not least, these things were able to defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity, yet without the associated type, if you would, wing structure, engine propulsion that you would need to fly. In fact, they didn't even have wings or tails or engines. So when you put that all together and then realize that if a foreign adversary just had one of those technologies, that would be a strategic game changer for us. And yet these things are doing all five of these observables, and we didn't know what they were.
Are we any closer now to understanding the technology behind these aircraft?
I believe we are. I believe we have really begun to pull back the veil and understand some of the physics. And that's been a relatively recent development in the ATIP program.
When you left the program in your resignation letter, you had some concerns about possibly not taking seriously the threat to national security. Talk about that and why you left the program. And are we taking this seriously? Because it does seem like a very imminent threat.
So, remember that the national security apparatus of this country is designed to protect its borders, its national borders, and protect the people from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is not necessarily a humanitarian agency like some of the other ones. It's designed to fight and win wars. And so from a DOD perspective, everything is always looked at through the optic of potential threat. And frankly, the American people deserve that. That's exactly the kind of Department of Defense you want. So when you see something in the sky, you don't know what it is, you don't know how it works, and you have to presume it could be a threat if it wanted to be. So let me give you a very quick analogy. Most people who live in a house or an apartment know to lock their doors at night before they go to bed, and they'll go check their windows, and they might even turn on their alarm system. Let's say one morning you wake up, you go downstairs, have a nice hot cup of coffee or tea, and despite your front doors being locked and your windows and your alarm on, you see muddy boot prints in your living room. Now, nothing's been taken, nothing's out of place, no one's been hurt, but despite you locking the front door and doing all those security checks, you still have muddy boot prints in your living room. So my question to you is that a threat? And my answer to you is, well, it could be if it wanted to be, so maybe we should figure it out.
Lou Elizondo is our guest on the program, former special agent in charge, director of the Pentagon's secret UFO program, 22-plus-year veteran at the Department of Defense, top security clearance, featured in the show on History Unidentified, Inside America's UFO Investigation, Fridays 10 Eastern Pacific, only on History. Let's talk about this program. And this is not, and I think you've said it, a UFO hunting program. You bring that same calm approach that you just did in answering several of those questions to the program, giving us something to really think about in a rational manner. And you put together really a trustworthy team, a highly connected team. Talk about this, because you've really got the top echelon people in terms of dealing with UFOs with you on this program.
Well, you're right. This is not a UFO hunting program, and we made that very clear. This is not even a reality show. As I said before, this is a show about reality. And History did a very good job assigning the best of the best to this program. Again, hardened investigative journalists and even wartime cameramen. So the approach to this show is very much matter-of-fact, with no scripts. There's no retakes. It's what you see is what you get. So what you're going to see most of the time of the show isn't dead. There's no, if you will, creative license involved with the show. It's raw, and what you see is what you get. So we were fortunate because we could then dedicate most of our time to getting the real data from the real individuals who were involved in the real incidents, and then getting additional data that substantiates their claims. And so I think the audience will realize that the literally the moment this program comes on, the very first opening scene, this is not like a normal show. You know, some people may not like it. I personally think in a topic like this, if you want to talk about it in a serious light, it needs to be a serious show.
Yes.
This is not Grandma's awesome lights in the backyard and speculation and innuendos, and you know, this is not tinfoil hat stuff. This is real, and it has a potential to be a real national security issue.
Talk about what we're going to see in the series in terms of eyewitnesses. I understand a couple of Navy fighter pilots are going to be on. They've got some video. They've got explanations. Talk about what we're going to see, and the fact that these are highly trained individuals, and what they say is one thing, and it seems to be very credible. But you do extensive investigations beyond that, don't you? Do you take a full scientific approach to this? Because oftentimes a video will not really tell the whole truth.
That's correct. We do that as well. So you're going to see some of America's finest men and women in uniform, highly trained observers. These folks have top secret security clearances. They're top gun graduates in some cases. And they've been trained to know the difference between an F-18, a MiG-25, and a European tornado from 20 miles away. So there's no one better in the sky than these folks. And you're going to hear their up-close and personal encounters to some degree. In one case, 50 feet away from the cockpit. So this isn't, again, a show about maybe something I saw up in the sky from really, really far away. We got up close and personal. And then you're also going to see how we take that data and we take it to other experts who are trained, for example, with National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, and other organizations in our government to analyze data, right, and determine whether what you're seeing on gun camera footage is a radar reflection or maybe some sort of heat reflection or, you know, something that has a rational explanation.
Yes.
And I think it's important. We go down, we do show both sides, and we, at the end of the day, we need to allow the audience to make up their own determination. I think it's important. We have to approach this from a neutral perspective. I can't allow my bias and my experience in ATIP necessarily to show through because the audience needs to make that decision, not Lou Elizondo.
The series is Unidentified America's UFO Investigation, Inside America's UFO Investigation. It premieres Friday, May 31st, 10 Eastern Pacific, only on History. You know, it seems like we're hearing more about sightings, and I'm wondering if, in fact, they're becoming more common, or we just now reporting is a whole lot easier than it was before, and that's why we're hearing more cases of incidents.
You know, that's a really good question. You know, whenever you hear about crime statistics in a city, and they say, well, crime's gone up 10% or it's gone down 10%, you have to ask yourself, okay, is that real data? Why is that occurring? Is it really that crime has gone up or down, or are we now, do we have more police force on that are in certain areas?
Yes.
And that they're arresting bad guys? Or is it that, you know, perhaps that the crime data isn't really more people are reporting crime than they were before? So we have to be careful with data like that. I've heard that too, saying, well, there's an uptick in UFO sightings or there's a downtick. It could be all sorts of stuff. It could be very well that you have large metropolitan areas where light pollution is worse, and so now you can't see the skies as well. Or it could be the opposite. It could actually very well be that there's an uptick and more people have little cameras on their cell phones and on smartphones and are aware and are looking at the skies and seeing things that are unusual. So I don't know. I don't know about that metric that you're using, because I've heard that too, but I can't substantiate that.
A couple minutes left in the program. To the STARS Academy of Arts and Sciences, talk about that. You're working with them on this project, and I'm thinking, does this give you actually more freedom as an investigator? Because if there's something you want to pursue, you can pursue it, and you probably don't need somebody else in the government to sign off on it.
That is absolutely correct. You are the first person to make that, to recognize that freedom. Now, with that said, there's also additional responsibility.
Yes.
I still have a security clearance. I still have a signed non-disclosure agreement with the government. So I have to be very careful. I can't wade into the waters of sensitive or classified information. But you're right. I do enjoy a little bit more freedom, and I can do things now on the outside that I couldn't do inside. I am very fortunate, too. The STARS Academy of Arts and Science has some of the just most incredible human beings and experts and patriots I've ever had the honor and pleasure to be with. You have Christopher Mellon, who was an assistant secretary of defense and on the CISI staff, Senate Select Committee on Intelligence staff. You have Hal Pudoff, who's a physicist, world-renowned physicist, worked for the CIA. You have Steve Justice from Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, and you have guys like Jim Simivan, a senior guy from CIA, and last but not least, of course, you have guys like Tom DeLonge, who's really the creative power behind a lot of this. He's a cohesive glue. Most people, when they hear Tom DeLonge, at first they kind of chuckle and they say, "You got a punk rocker in your group?" And the answer is, yeah, we do. But most people don't realize this has been a passion for him for a very long time. And more importantly, in 2015, right after WikiLeaks kind of told the world what he was doing, but he had managed to get to the highest levels of the U.S. government, including John Podesta, about this topic. And he's, you know, sometimes you need a big crowd, you need a bullhorn. And Tom is definitely a bullhorn in a crowd. So he's incredibly creative and extremely intelligent as well. So I think that'll all come across in the show. People get a chance to meet every one of us, know our backgrounds, and why we're together. This is a bit of a motley crew that we have, but it's not artificial. It's definitely organic.
And Lou Unshackled, so you can go after. You got a lead out there. You can go after it. I'm going to take about 30 seconds here. Is it possible we are not alone?
Let me ask you the question. When people ask you, is there life in the universe? My answer is, of course there is. It's abundant. Just look around you. There's more life on this little tiny blue rock than one could ever imagine. And even then, it's at the bottom of our oceans and in a mile beneath the ice of Antarctica. It's everywhere. So is it possible it's outside of this little rock? I think there's probably a really good possibility of that.
Well, I can't wait for the series. Lou Elizondo with us on the program, featured in the History Channel series, Unidentified, Inside America's UFO Investigation, Fridays, 10 Eastern Pacific, only on History. Lou will be watching. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us today.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're listening to This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.